It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 28. We're going to begin reading with verse 39 today. And so please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 28, verse 39, and we'll prepare for the study. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to find your place in the Scripture. It's always important that you can follow along, and I hope that you're able to today. Once again, Exodus chapter 28, verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of the linen, thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, for the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed for him. Now we're going to get into the 29th chapter, but right now we're just going to end with this reading of the 28th chapter. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together today. It is a wonderful opportunity we have to open your precious word, to enjoy it. So please, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us today and show us as we go through some things that we may think are not of any importance at all. Well, they're definitely important because everything that is found in the Word of God is important. And so we need to look to it, we need to search it, we need to ask you, dear Father, for the direction, the leadership, and ask for its importance in our lives, how it applies to our lives. So please today that you do that. And of course, you've got to be born again in order to have the Spirit of God living within your heart to have any understanding of your word. Many people of this world think that they have some level of understanding of your word, Father, but they don't, because they're not born again, and they'll have none. They can be through all kinds of 4 years of college and 2 years of seminary and all these things, but so many of them miss the opportunity and miss the need of being born again. And if they're not born again, then, dear Father, we know that they have no leadership, they have no understanding. So tonight, today, when we come together, we ask that you grow those that are saved and you save those that are lost. It's a work that's yours, dear Father, not mine. My purpose is to give out the word, and that's what we're doing today. So please, now guide and lead us as we enjoy and love your word and grow from it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find ourselves here towards the close of the 28th chapter. We have been in this area for a couple of times, and we have looked at all the garb and affairs that Aaron and his sons will prepare and put on when they minister and serve under the Lord's leadership and the Lord's will. And this garment, as we've talked about, that Aaron has is something very, very beautiful. Those that the priests, his sons have, they too, it's a garment that's very beautiful. But the beauty is not directed towards the man, towards Aaron, or towards Aaron's sons, but it is directed towards the glory of God. And we need to see that as we come into the house of God and when we minister and in service to him, that's how we come. We come properly clothed. We come prepared in the desire to serve the Lord, and that comes with preparation. That doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come when we come in our leisurely outfits that I'm going to wear this because I've got something else to do after church. And so it tells us very quickly that the church, the service, the preaching of God's word, the collecting of believers as they come together to hear the word of God, we find that that's not very important because there's little time put in, little preparation. It's just like, well, we're going to hustle, we're going to hurry, we're going to try to get there. And many times, you know, you get there late. And you find as you are in any church, and I think it's almost all of them, and that is that by the time church starts, from the time to maybe 15 minutes into it, there's quite a number that add to the church. There's a problem there. And particularly when it's continual, it's something that's almost automatic. It's just like you leave for church the time you're supposed to be there. And we find and look, and that's about all we're going to do with the preparation here with the garment of Aaron and his sons. But I want you to see that we need to be clothed, fully covered. We need to be ready. We need to come prepared to worship, and you'd see revival in this country. You'd see revival in our churches today if people would come prepared. And I'm not just talking about the dress they got on or the pants and shirt and clothing that the man's got on and the children have on. That's very important, but that's a reflection of what's in the heart. Because if they come with some old clothes on or come with their shorts on, things like that, you can see very clearly that their heart's not right. Their heart's not prepared. I've come to just enjoy myself today, and we're coming to meet with God and God's people, and it's very important that we prepare our hearts to do that. We need to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. In order to be clothed with the righteousness, to be properly clothed with the righteousness of Christ, we must, of course, first be born again. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him. He died on the cross for you. Just come to Him and trust Him today. Your sins will be taken away. You'll receive this cloak of righteousness that is handed to you from God. And then there's a work that goes on in our hearts, in our lives, as we live from the day we get saved to the day we die, or the day Jesus comes to get us, whichever comes first. But that work is ongoing, and as that work is ongoing, why we find that we are walking and working in this old world, and this old world's a filthy old place to be, and we get dirty, and we need to be washed. And we're going to find here in the next chapter that Aaron and his sons, they too will be washed. It's important that we do that, and we do it through the Word of God. You know, we've talked about coming to the dinner table and washing your hands and being clean when you sit down to eat. Well, we need to be clean when we sit down to eat God's Word. And that washing comes through God's Word. And so you see, we are washed by it when we study it, search it. It prepares our hearts. And then we're fed by it. And so, but we need to learn some primary lessons here that are very common to us all along. And that is that we need to do the washing, and then we come and we get the feeding. And so please come. And I can tell your heart when you come. If you come and your dress is as worldly as the world comes, I know your heart. You know, I said, Larry, you're not to judge. I'm not judging. I'm a fruit inspector. And I know when you come dressed like that you're not, your heart isn't right. And yet some churches, and I'm appalled by it, some churches make it so clear, come as you are, come comfortable. Oh, my friend, I don't want you to come comfortable. I don't want you to come as you are. I want you to come prepared to meet with God. Now, he's a holy, righteous God, and you got to be prepared to meet him. That's serious. And so, you know, you folks that advertise that and put it on the radio or put it on the church sign, you know, I've seen it everywhere. Come as you are. We're a comfortable church. Well, I tell you what, I'd never step foot in that church. Because I don't want to go where a place is comfortable. I want to go where I can meet with God. That's the reason I'm going. I'm not playing church. I'm serious about serving God. And I hope you are too. Aaron, his sons, are properly clothed. Different than you and I, if we come into the house of God not properly clothed, we would break fellowship, maybe, with our God if we come improperly dressed, spiritually and physically. But we're not going to be struck down dead. Well, Aaron and his sons would be. Because if they didn't come at the given time properly dressed, they would die. So you see, it was serious to them. And we need to carry on with some of that seriousness ourselves. We need to be serious about it. Now, we're going to take a look at the 29th chapter. And this 29th chapter here is very interesting because we're going to look at many things in preparation that Aaron and his sons needed to do. And it involves the sacrifices. So I hope that you enjoy this part of the study today. I hope that you learn something from the past chapters concerning the dress and being relaxed and all those things. I don't want you, you know, I want you to learn something. Again, I don't care whether you're comfortable or not. I don't care if you're mad at me or not. I just want you to get right with God. That's what's important. Exodus chapter 29. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird them with a curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre, and then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them, and thou shalt girt them with a girdle, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of that bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock, and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, and his skins, and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. And thou shalt take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood, and sprinkle it round about upon the altar, and thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the innards and him of him and his legs, and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shalt thou put their hands upon the head of the ram, and then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right toe, of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take the blood of it upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Also thou shalt take of the ram the fat of the rump, and the fat of the covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is the ram of consecration, and one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread, that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron and the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now we're going to stop there, and I wanted to read those verses of Scripture, because it's really an exciting time, because we're looking at the consecrating of Aaron and his sons. It's quite a process here as we look at this. And you see, once again, it's not because just Aaron and his sons have the right garments on. They also have to go through all this procedure that we have just read to consecrate themselves for service. And of course, first they have to deal with their sin. Then they can come with the next offering. And if you'll notice, we do have three different offerings here. We have a sin offering, a burnt offering, and a peace offering. And those three are listed here in these scripture verses that we've just read. And we're going to take a little look at those, but we need to see that to consecrate means a filling the hand. And we look at the ninth verse here, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put bonnets upon them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. And it is said that thou shalt fill the hand of Aaron and his sons. And that's the purpose. It's preparing. Consecrating them was a perfecting of them. And so that's what the process is. We've got to make Aaron and his sons vessels that can be used. And of course, they're just sinners, just like we're sinners. You know, Aaron was no special man. He was chosen of God. You're chosen of God. You know, we need to wake up and realize what an opportunity we have in sharing the gospel and telling people how to be saved. It's wonderful, the opportunity that you and I have. So please don't miss it. And here, why we're going through this consecrating, it's making them perfect. It's making them to a position of service. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to have our lives consecrated. We need to have our lives made perfect by the hand of God. And that can be done through the searching of the Word of God, the studying of the Word of God, and the joy of serving Him. It is a wonderful, wonderful time that we have to walk each day with Jesus Christ. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I have that opportunity. I have that opportunity to open the Word of God. You don't know how many times I hear people say that, oh, you know, I just don't get the time. You know, oh, I open it, it doesn't mean anything to me. Well, my friend, it's because you don't spend any time with Him. You don't know the author of this book if it doesn't make any sense to you. You need to trust in Him as your Savior, number one, and you may be saved. But you spent so little time with Him, you're still strangers. And that's such a sad, sad statement that you could be strangers with your living God, the one that saved you, and yet you don't know Him. Oh, you've known Him for salvation. You've confessed your sin to Him. But then that's the end of your relationship. You have not went any further to get to know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you surrender to Him, the more you'll know Him. And the greater the days will be as you walk with Him each day. And so we find that this is going to go on. This is taking place at the door of the tabernacle. Now again, we don't have the temple yet. You know, we're just building the tabernacle here. We've gotten the furnishings of the tabernacle. We've got the brazen altar out the front. Then we got the laver next. And then you go into the holy place. And in that room, you have the lampstand, the table of showbread, and this incense altar. And then you go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies. And there is the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. And so we need to see that we keep all this straight. Now, in that third, that room, that small room, 15 by 15 by 15, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, that's where God comes to meet with the people. And so you see the high priest, which the Lord Jesus is our high priest, but Aaron here is a picture of that. He goes in to present unto the Father the children of Israel. And then he comes back and he presents God to the children of Israel. And so he's our mediator. And so what a wonderful day that we live in, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself now is our mediator. And so let's look now, and we're going to see here these holy garments. We can't take care of our sin. We can't do it. It has to be dealt with by God. It's not something that you can do if you just feel like it today. It is something that's solely and completely done by God. The only part of that relationship that you have in deciding to come by faith to Jesus is just that, is upon Him convicting your heart of sin. You need to turn to Him. Ask Him to come into your heart and save you. That's what you need to do. It's just that simple. You need to ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And He will. Now, you have to have the convicting Spirit of God convicting your heart. And you say, well, what is that? What is that? You call upon Him for salvation because you're lost, you're a sinner, and you're dying right now. And He will come in and save you. And it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, but it's something you will experience. Some people laugh, some people cry, some people, their countenance don't change to speak of at all the day they meet God. But their life changes. And so I want yours to change. Now this holy garment that is prepared here, and there's going to be some things that's going to be done to it. We can't take care of our sin. We must be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. All covenants are made by sacrifice. And so keep that in mind as we continue the study. Now this sin offering, as we begin now, and I'm just going to read very quickly here, because it is the preparation of everything. And then we come to the 10th verse where we start with this. But we have looked, and I'm just going to read real quickly down through the 9th verse again. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. This is what you need to do. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and the wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Once again, we're going to begin a process here that the priests will do daily, and that is there'll be a washing at the laver. Now, right here in the preparation of everything, they still need this washing, and we're washed by the water, washed by the Word of God. The Scripture's so clear about that. And the only way that you can be washed, the only way that you can get your heart and your life right, is to spend time in the Word of God. You know, today we've got so much going on within the church, and most of it is not of God. Some of its activities to bring people in, much of that is not of God. It's a program. We need the Spirit of God touching the heart. You know, if one person comes in, or no people come in, or 1,000 people come in, I don't want anyone within the walls of our building that is coming to be entertained. I want them to come to hear the Word of God. And I want them, they don't necessarily come this way, but I want them to come washed. You know, do you enjoy people coming to your house that are dirty? Well, God doesn't either. God does not want you coming into His house dirty. And we're back to this casual look again. My friend, you come that way. You say, no, I've showered, I'm clean, I got my deodorant on, I'm fine. No, you're not. If you come that way, you're not fine. You're dirty. And you must be clean. And the only way you can be clean is by the washing of the Word. And I'm going to ask you once again. As a child, did your mother put up with you being dirty? As a mother and a father, do you put up with your children being dirty? No, you don't have to take a bath tonight. You know, take it next week. Take it next month. It doesn't hurt anything. You know, you're dirty, you're filthy, you stink, but that doesn't matter. You don't do that. But then when it comes to spiritual things, you do. Spiritually, we do not realize that we're filthy and we're dirty and we need to be clean. And that's exactly what this is talking about here with the priests and their offices. They need to be clean in order to be in service. You wonder why nothing's happening in our churches? Because everybody comes and they're filthy and they're dirty. And again, whether you're a parent or whether you're a child, it doesn't matter. You don't tolerate that dirt. And when you come into the house of God, why do you think a righteous God would like to tolerate and does tolerate dirt? Why do you think that? That's an ignorant thought. Because even yourself, the dirt and the filth of this world collects on us, and we can't wait to get it off. Well, we need to do the same thing with sin. We need to get it off. Because we need to get busy about the work of God. Now, first of all, of course, you got to be saved. You got to be born again. You got to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's first. That's very first. And once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, say, Larry, I don't know how to do that. Well, it's very simple. You just call upon the Lord. It's just that simple. Today, just call upon Him for salvation. And if you do, please come. Please write. Send me an email. Whatever you want to do. But just let me know so I can be in prayer for you. I can help you continue to grow. If you're close enough, come. If you're too far away, then write or, again, send an email that we can be praying for you. It's not important that we know the number. It's not important at all. It's just important that you don't starve to death after you're saved. You've got to be fed, and I'd love to do it. I love the feeding of God's Word, but we must come to the table of God prepared to eat. And so please that you do that today. If you don't have a church home, please come. Please come. Got to be in church. Got to be in church. My dear friend, it's a wonderful time we have together, and it goes so quickly. And we're going to get to the burnt offering and the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering next time we come together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?